We are very grateful to TIC, the Talking Information Center Network, for recording some of our sessions today, including this one. Please note that a voice recording of the session and a copy of the PowerPoint will be available on the Focus website under the Focus Conference Archives. The web address can be found on the black and white business card on your yellow folder. We are grateful to Brian and Nancy for joining us today. They're here to share their work, and it is our pleasure to have them. Brian, who is the Director of Technology at the Carroll Center for the Blind, and Nancy Sharon, who is a TBI and an Orientation Mobility Specialist, who is the Director of Education and Community Services in the Carroll Center. So we're very appreciative because our other colleagues weren't able to join us today, but they very much, between the two of them, their experience, their knowledge is just incredible. So we're all looking forward to hearing you, Brian and Nancy, and the title, of course, is Tech for Everyday Life. So please join me in welcoming Brian and Nancy.
Thank you. We were asked to pitch it, so we stole the title and we guessed at the content that was intended, and we hope we're hitting the mark. Brian is an iOS user, knows every accessibility trick under the sun, and I have a lot of experience with helping individuals with vision loss and intellectual disability to get more participation out of life with using iOS. So I hope that between the two of us, we can offer you something. And for those of you who are super experienced with iOS, you're going to get a little bit of review because we didn't want to jump ahead, because the original content that we could, as far as we could tell, was some very basic instructions on how to get some of the, get some of the accessibility set up for your the individuals that you work with. So I may add to, if we come up with some really good stuff that none of us want to forget, I might add it to our PowerPoint as we go, so forgive me for being that informal, but I'd rather you guys have it in the end. I'd rather it get uploaded than to be worried about how professional I look. All right, Ryan, I'll read this one slide and then you can start, okay?
Yeah, I'm telling you just a little bit of fact about all of this, okay? She made this PowerPoint for me last night. So there are times when she's going to read the slide and I might get a puzzled look on my face. Yeah, that's okay.
Actually,
right?
I made it for me because Brian says, I don't use PowerPoints. I said, yeah, I know, but I'm so visual that I need PowerPoint. So this slide says iOS accessibility features can provide auditory feedback, enhance visual feedback, prevent accidental gestures, and keep an individual on task. I know the last two are mine.
Yeah, they work for all of them. One of the things that I found over the years in teaching people to use iOS devices, by the way, I'm going to take a poll. Here goes the poll. How many of you currently personally use iOS devices on a regular basis? And how many do not? Everybody did. How many of you are, enjoying the Android universe? See? This is about typical, quite honestly, in the blindness and low vision area. iOS is by far ahead of the game in terms of user base. Not always necessarily the best choice, but the most common choice. So when I teach a person to use an iOS device, I start at the very beginning because I'm concerned that I'm really unteaching them some bad practices that they got from Aunt Judy or their cousin Charlie or something, right? I get to unteach before I can begin teaching. Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
So I say, okay, first thing we're going to do is we're going to turn off that iOS device because we don't want to accidentally, you know, be launching missiles or something like that. We leave that to those who tweet. So I say, I want you to know how to hold one of these things because they're so used to putting things in their palm, which puts the fingers in harm's way, right? So I always say, place your index finger just under the power button on the left side. Put your other two fingers, middle and ring, below it with a little gap between. And place your thumb on the opposite side of an iOS phone, just below the volume down button. That's how you hold an iOS device.
And if you have an iPad, and they have the use of both hands, try to hold it in the non-dominant hand so that the dominant hand that has the more dexterity can do the gesturing.
Exactly. Non-dominant hand for holding. And I use my pinky, by the way, as a little kickstop here because, you know, I paid a lot of money for that thing. I don't want to barely grip it, right? I want to have a firm grip. The next thing I do is I go around the circumference and say, what are all those things? You can say, you don't have to bother about that. The minute you say that, you just smack yourself. They're going to bother with it if it's touchable, if they can identify it. So the mute switch, volume up, volume down, power lock switch, the outlets along the bottom edge. Mine happens to be in a power case. So it's the lightning port and the two audio outs that are down there, microphone. And I said, on the back, you have this lovely camera, which, by the way, I hated when I first got my first iOS device. Why did I have to pay for that camera? I, as a blind person, was never going to have to use it.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Boy, did I change my point of view. And then I say, now we get to deal with the things that aren't so easily tactual. I'm locking my phone for a minute. I'm going to put my finger in the upper left-hand corner, and I'm going to, upper center, slide down and feel that horizontal slit up there. That's the forward-facing speaker. That's what you put against your face when you are going to be listening to what it's doing like a telephone call. And then there's hidden behind there, behind the miracle glass, the forward-facing camera. The camera we all have known and loved to take selfies. Can't feel it. It's in there. Can't feel it. And then my lovely home button. Now, those of you who have, how many people in the room have a Windows, or excuse me, an iPhone 10? Where there is no home button. Well, I have to say, those of my friends who reached out and got one right away, they've learned to live with it and be pretty happy with it. So I'm sure that on that day when this thing falls and cracks and I get my next one, I'll be comfortable with that too. But that home button is a huge, huge value in acting as a place marker. Things are relative to those things. Then I start, and I start defining the layout of that screen. It's got three parts. What's along the top part? What's the word for that? Anybody? It's the status bar. You've got to give names to things if you're going to communicate them. And you have to be consistent in how you name them. Not only while you're teaching, but look up what people write and call things. Because you don't want to limit them only to your special words. The doohickey at the top is not printed anywhere. Okay? It's the status bar. And what's along the bottom? Anybody? The dock. Right? Like sitting at the dock of the bay. Not like the guy that takes too much money and that tells me to cough to the left. Not that. Sitting at the dock of the bay. In between is what? What's it called? It's the page, right? In this case, the home page. And again, that's consistent throughout all the instructional manuals you'll hear. It's not the home screen. It's the home page. And we want to call it the page because when you start using VoiceOver and it tells you where you are, it's never going to say the word screen. It's going to call that page one. Page one. Used to be it was page... What was it? Page zero? I mean, it was god awful. But anyway.
All right, I'm going to interrupt you at this point. So.
Okay, I got to send in the voicemail.
You might want to hear this. So, I don't know if a lot of you work in day programs with individuals. Can I have a show of hands if you do work in day programs? So that's probably a third of the people. So the students that I've worked with who are up to 22, a lot of times their device is the iPad, not the iPhone. Some of them have an iPhone from home, but if, whatever's being provided for them by their program or their school is often the iPad, right? And then you want to decide what is that person responsible for. Of all the things that Brian went around the circumference and named, there's only going to be some that you want them to have to worry about at first. The home button is like the big deal and one of the easiest things. So, and a lot of times there's other individuals who also have an iPad or an iPhone. So use the selfie feature and put a picture of the individual on the home screen so that if they press the wake-up button, they see themselves and they know that's their device, okay? So they don't get it mixed up with everybody else's. So out of all the stuff that Brian was talking about, you want to teach them to wake it up and put it to sleep, and you want to teach them where to find the home button first. And you want to put, I'm trying to think of what else my thoughts were. You want to put everything they're most going to use right on the home screen, on page one. And stuff that they don't need, put it all in a folder together so that it's not visually cluttering. And don't use this background that I have. Here, I'm going to So you want to use a decent background so that it's visually not cluttered. Okay. All right, go ahead, Brian.
She does a good job of this go ahead part. I appreciate it. Nancy was saying, the trick is to declutter things. Just think how many things are on page one. So the first thing I do when I start modifying, and people come to me to get training, and the first half of the time they're with me, it's configuring. It's not training. And I will slide, with conversation with them, what they're going to use, what they're not going to use, I will slide it so that the most they have on that screen is four items other than those on the dock. And I slide them into the corners. Because when you want to start exploring, trying to use the explore method, put your finger down, slide it around, is a lot more confusing with 20 plus items on it. So I put it in the corner. Where do you start? Always, where am I anchoring? Upper left corner, upper right corner, lower left, or lower right. Everything else will come natural if you stick with that kind of rule. Mm-hmm.
And think about your individual.
Your microphone doesn't fall off.
Think about who you're working with. If the person is totally blind, you want the first thing that they're going to use. I have one student who was getting really good with email. She had a Braille display and she used her iPad for email. So the mail app was up in the corner that she would typically. You just fold down and you drag to move something around. It was up in the corner where her hand typically went, okay? Is there anybody here who has very limited experience with arranging stuff on a home screen? Yeah, okay. So I just want to show you how to make a folder, okay? You take an app that is similar to another app, like this Reminders and this Notes, maybe. Okay? You hold your finger down until things start to jiggle. Thank you. And then you drag that one app over on top of the other one, and it creates a folder, okay? And then you press the home button to make all the jiggling stop. Okay, that's also if you want to delete an app. That, did you see the little X that came up? You just hit the X after you've made it jiggle. And then you can name the folder whatever you want, okay? But I use folders a lot to keep my students from getting too much stuff. We use a folder called Not For Me. Because there's some things you're not going to be able to get rid of, like that. I think they let you delete that one. Okay.
Have we gone to another slide and I don't know?
Well, my next slide was about Siri.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Okay. I just don't want to mention Siri if she's on slide two. I don't want to.
We're still on the features.
Again, as I said at the beginning here, you know, it's so much about the setup of the device that will make it work for you. And trying to set it up after the fact, or if you will, as you go along, is a lot more difficult to explain and to give a logical way to remember where things are. So the things that I would tend to keep on that screen all depend on who the student is that I'm working with. I have to keep turning my speech on here.
10:30 a.m.
Oh, we don't care about phones. So, I try to keep on the screen the things that Siri is going to be supportive of. You just heard mail is one of those. Texting or message is another one of those that Siri is very helpful with. Also, reminders. People need some way to keep track of things, right? And then I'll have at least one thing there that is strictly there for fun. This has got to be something that they feel like if they leave home without it, they're going to feel real bad. Otherwise, it's not much use as a reminder, is it? So I'm going to have at least one entertaining thing on there that really is exciting to that individual to have access to it. I may drop things down on the dock and leave them on the dock, not for the user's use, but for those who work with the user, their use, and to really limit them down to the things that they're going to use in a repetitious kind of way. Then they can master it. It's when they're trying to, I come from the Northwest originally, and we had a phrase out there that says, swallow the fish from the thin end. Okay? Trust me, if you've ever fished for salmon, you know what I mean. That's thick end versus the thin end. So we try to do the same thing when it comes to training people to use these devices.
One more comment about the setup of the home screen is that when you have an individual who's using VoiceOver, which is a way to get it to talk about, to speak everything that you're doing. Okay. The first place it goes once you turn it on is to the top left. So, and we're going to go over more of this, but you swipe to go through your options. So if you have, you know, 8 icons before you get to your, I don't have 2,000 unread emails. So if you have to swipe 8 times before you get to the one icon that you use the most, that doesn't make any sense. So you want to place things, depending on which accessibility feature your individual or student is going to be using, that might help you decide where to put your icons. If they're a low vision user, you might stick with putting a lot of stuff in the dock, because then they'd only have to be looking, but maybe not if they have a lower field deficit. You might be looking more to the top of the home screen. So you have to think about the individual that you're working with. All right, it is 10:32.
So we go to slide two?
Let's breeze through Siri.
Breeze through Siri. She's going to be a
thing. Do you want your screen to show or no?
Yep.
Okay, let me.
We're going to. My cable challenge is one.
Yeah.
Let's see if
you
see it.
LinkedIn, messages, five unread messages.
There we go, you're on.
Messages, LinkedIn.
But it's not taking the audio.
No, but I'm...
People hear the audio okay?
Facebook. 34. Link. Facebook. 34 new items.
I'm going to slow it down.
Volume. Speaking rate. 60%. 55%. 50%.
Fair enough. 50%.
Volume. Containers. Actions. Handwriting. Lower characters.
Okay. So, one of the things that's important when you're going to be using voiceover as your means of doing things is to explain to the individual there's a difference between Siri and voiceover. And there's a difference between Siri and dictation. They are not all of the same thing. So when we start talking about using Siri for things, the commercials all make it sound like Siri is only good for finding out useful things like, what was the score in last night's Celtics game?
The Celtics crushed the Cavaliers.
Not bad, right? And that's fine and good. And, you know, it's a motivator for people who are passionate about something to give them the ability to quickly find those kind of things out. But for me, it is things like, do I have any text messages?
You have 5 new messages and 4 conversations. On April 19th, 2018, someone with a 971 area code said, 503-815-2886, Brad's home number. Would you like to reply?
No.
Last Tuesday, someone with a 781 wanted...
Cancel.
Okay.
So I can read my text messages and reply to my text messages. And how many gestures did I have to master to do just that? Hold down the home button. That was it. Hold down the home button. Do I have any email?
You have at least 25 emails since yesterday. Here are the latest 3. Shall I read them to you?
Yes.
The latest was sent at 9:16 a.m. from Joe Lynn Bailey Page with the subject, ICB Unit, Project Call, Tuesday, May 15th at 3 p.m. EDT. At 9:15 a.m., Cambridge Focus Center email with the subject, New Home Opinion Study about Small Household Appliances. At 9:14 a.m., Frank Ventura via BSCB Board sent you an email with the subject, read BSCB Board, one statement about tomorrow's board meeting and one question for everyone. Would you like to hear the entire list?
No.
Okay.
All right.
So that's how Siri does her thing. But if you pattern it so that you can access text messages, email, of course, reminders and things along those lines, Siri is a huge benefit if you keep things simple.
Mm-hmm. All right, can I show my screen? So Siri may or may not be turned on your student or your individual's device. And so you can go into settings and find it there, and you have 2 options. At least you do on my operating system. You can have Siri activated with the home button, or you can have the option to say, hey Siri. So you would go in there and choose the option that you want your student or your individual to be able to use. All right. So then I have a slide about using settings in general. So settings is really your best friend. And settings might be one of those icons that you want in a folder that says not for me. Because you might not want your student fooling with those settings once you've got them. So that you've made things as usable and as friendly as possible for your student or for the individual. So in settings, the ones that are applicable to what we're talking about today, we'll go to general in a minute, but I just want to call your attention to just in the left-hand column of settings, there's Siri, which is where you will find your options to do the Hey Siri or not, allow Siri when it's locked or not, when their device is locked. Then I also want to call your attention to display and brightness. There it is. That's in the regular settings. Because you can, for people who are light sensitive, you can turn the brightness way down. You can change the text size, make it a lot bigger. Then, where most of us spend most of our time in settings is in general, at least those of us with accessibility stuff. Okay, and under general, in accessibility is where you're going to find a lot of things that we want to show you in only 19 minutes. The features in accessibility that I use the most with my students are VoiceOver, Zoom, Magnifier, something called Display Accommodations, where you could invert the colors for someone who has low vision. And some people really benefit from a black background and white or green or orange text. I want to call your attention quickly to, I'm gonna leave the most of this voiceover to you, Brian, in a second. And I want to call your attention quickly to keyboard. It's under general accessibility, and then go down the line and find keyboard. Why did I want to do that? So you can prevent the keys for someone who has trouble with their motor control. You can prevent the keys from repeating themselves if they keep holding down on the letter. I haven't looked in enough to sticky keys and slow keys, and those are more of like a more of a motor thing. And I myself need to like go to a course taught by somebody who knows all the motor adaptations in iOS. Yes.
Are these options you're going over, are they all related to mostly the iPad as opposed to the iPhone?
These are iOS, so they would be in both.
What version of it? Is it just because I'm curious about the invert? You know, that you just went over with mm-hmm. a contrast, because sometimes you hesitate to completely invert when you get an image. It's not as clear. People want to use Facebook. They can't see the pictures of their grandkids.
Right.
So that's why I was curious. And what version is this that allows it to actually have that smart contrast?
So let's see. I am in. Where am I?
11.
Thank you. I'm in 11. 11.0.3.
Okay.
And you're right about inverting colors. It's really the most useful with text for most people.
Right.
It'll mess with images. So take everything we say with a grain of salt, because sometimes sometimes you need to touch the device because you need to get them back out of whatever they got themselves into. And so you might, and that's why we're going to show you a shortcut, an accessibility shortcut, so that you can quickly shut off VoiceOver if the person is using VoiceOver. I will say that VoiceOver for people with intellectual disabilities, it changes all the gestures on the device. So you really have to, what we want is increased participation for these people. We don't want to make life harder. So you don't turn on VoiceOver and say, here you go, now your iPad's always on VoiceOver. You do it for the certain apps that they're going to use when it makes the most sense. Okay, but we want you guys to know how to do it so that you can.
To use invert, does this? I used to use it before 11. Do you still have the option, I think, is a double click or a triple click to do it?
So let's see. I'm pretty sure it is on my accessibility shortcut options. So I was looking at that last night. Yep, classic invert colors, smart invert colors. So it is, if you, so here I am jumping to accessibility shortcut, but I may as well show you guys. It's a triple click, okay? You can choose what options you have available to you when you triple click. So, Brian, I'm going to guess you just have VoiceOver. So
that's right.
As soon as you triple click, your phone turns on VoiceOver. But I have guided access as an option. I'm going to check Zoom. I'll check in invert colors, okay? And that's like all the way at the bottom of the accessibility setting. So then if I go back to my home screen and then I triple click, oops, it's going to show me some choices. It's not talking though. Do you want classic invert? Do you want VoiceOver? So that's the down call of that one. It's not going to speak your choices.
Which is why I don't put all of those on mine, because I'd be kind of dead in the water.
Yeah.
But then I can use Siri to turn voice over on and off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You could do that.
Accessibility shortcuts. Classic and selected. VoiceOver. How does that go off?
So, one last thing I wanted to show you was guided access. Guided access keeps the iPad in a single app. So if you want your student to get enjoyment out of what they're doing, but you know that their tendency is to start touching everything, you can shut off their ability to leave the app. We go into accessibility and then it uses a passcode that you have to put in order to get out of the app. All right.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Now, usually the guided access on the iPad with the triple click, will that interfere with the
If you have set up your triple click to be guided access, then your triple click will be that way. So you can see I have, it's one of my choices.
Okay.
So the reason that guided access turns on that particular iPad that you work with a triple click is because somebody set it up to do that.
Okay.
So you can take it off the triple click list if you want, or you can have it be the only thing. Yeah.
Sorry, I just, if you turn on the speech, two finger down, I think it reads lists like that for you off the screen.
Yes.
Sorry, that's one more feature that you'd have to turn on or whatever, but.
Yeah.
I think it does that.
Let me get out of this cancel. I didn't put that on my list. I looked at it last night and forgot to include it on my list. Thank you. So if you go into accessibility and go to speech and turn on speak screen, then let's do our triple click. And then to hear it. No, it's not working. All right. But it's there. Brian, how do you get yours to work with the two finger down?
Generally speaking, because I'm an all voiceover user,
you don't.
I don't have to do it.
I generally teach my students to start at the edge of the screen and then drag down from the top. I mean, starting at the top, at the very top edge, and then just drag down.
So after the content could be found on the screen. Oh, there it goes. Anybody who wants to show me something good that I'm not doing well afterward, please come up here because I do want to get better at what I do. Okay. Vibration. I know that's just something that we all use, but keep in mind that if you have vibration turned on, I think we're going to sound for that. You might be on a newer iOS than I am. But anyway, use vibration as another way of your student getting, feedback. Okay? All right, Brian. So I have left you with an entire 11 minutes. No.
Yeah. One.
Yeah, okay. So we'll get into the nitty-gritty of voiceover.
I've got pen.
Oh, we have apps too, yep.
So, again, I'm in... usually you voice over myself, so when I click there, I want to get to the one of my least favorite aspects of what they did in terms of laying out settings is they put voiceover practice down inside voiceover settings. So it means to practice, you already have to know quite a bit of the gestures to get where you can practice the gestures. As a blind instructor, I have my students do the gestures on the palm of my hand so that I can determine whether or not they're doing things the way they think they're supposed to do. The number one issue is ladies with long nails, tapping is done with the flesh of the fingertips, not with the nails. If you want to get much better recognition, use the flesh of your fingertips. Two is there's a big difference between double tap and double tap. This is a double tap. This is two single taps. And it takes a while for people to get used to that concept and things. Three fingers, four fingers swiping around their screen to do things, the different gestures, I teach them as patterns. The simplest things are done with, and the most common things are done with one finger. Two finger, if you're getting a little more complicated. Three fingers, if you're getting pretty obscure to do things. Now, so I don't do this practice very often. It's very frustrating for people, to be honest with you.
Speaking rate, heading.
I never adjust the speaking rate within the settings because it's available on the rotor. How many of you know what I mean by the rotor? Anybody? Oh. Why is it not showing?
Speech off.
Screen curtain on. Screen curtain off. Well, if it's not going to show anyway, I'm taking it off, and I'll just talk it through. But then again, I'm... Okay. If it pops up, that's great. All right, so nonetheless.
Speaking rate.
There it goes. Okay.
Speaking rate. Fit the speech. What? Verbosity. What?
One of the changes I make is I turn verbosity off. Okay? I do not want voiceover to tell me all of my options each time I move to something. This is a desktop icon. You can double tap and start something that way. Click right. This is another desktop icon. You can double tap and start things this way. There's times when less is more, right? Especially when it's verbal, you're listening to something for information.
Braille button.
I'm a Braille enthusiast, but we don't have time to do all the intricacies of that.
Yeah.
Here's rotor. Now, I'm going to go into the rotor button.
Select voiceover, back button.
We have gestures that are taps, that are swipes, or flicks. I love that description in the manual. It said a flick is like when you're flicking a piece of lint off your shirt. You know how many blind people have ever flicked lint off their shirt? Analogy. I always use the swing of the baseball bat as my example. Anyway, while you're in rotor, you can establish which kinds of things you can easily adjust without having to go into menus.
Selected characters.
For example, I can easily change a gesture so it moved me previous or next character.
Reorder edits. Selected. Form controls.
Form controls.
Selected. Tables.
Tables.
Selected. Vertical navigation.
Now, most of your clients are not going to be needing all of this stuff. But where it really comes in handy is I'm going to put my finger and thumb on the center of the screen as if I'm holding a knob. Right? And I'm going to turn them as I'm turning a knob.
Edit.
Edit.
Containers.
Containers.
Edit. Containers. Volume.
Volume.
Speaking rate.
Speaking rate. Take my finger and thumb off. I've just changed what flicking up or down with one finger will do. Now it will either
55%, 60%.
Bring the speed up or 50%. Bring the speed down. Here's the rotor again. Hints. That's that verbosity I was talking about. I can either flick down.
Hints enabled.
And enable it or flick up.
Hints disabled.
And disable those hints. All of these things are on my rotor. And I can choose to have them there or not there. So you can configure this to make the rotor a really useful way to make quick changes in things. Okay? Looking right. I'm going to go back up.
Selected. Current voiceover. Back button.
Get back out of the rotor.
Rotor action. Typing style.
Typing style. Typing is a huge issue for those who are using voiceover as their means of doing things. They default is a touch the screen, slide your finger to the character that you want, and then do a two-finger double tap. That's a lot of gestures to type the letter A. So instead, I set it to touch typing. Terrible name for it because we know what we think of by touch typing, right? Touch typing means you put your finger on the keyboard, just slide it to the letter you want, and you take your finger off. That types it. Just taking your finger off. And you get verbal indication that that's happened because it will say that same letter in a higher pitch when you know it's been typed. So you can use a keyboard in that fashion. Most people who do much in the way of keyboarding on an iOS device are going to use a Bluetooth keyboard if they have a choice. But bulk setup has one more thing to go wrong in technology, and Lord knows the more things something can do, the more things it can do wrong, right?
Phonetic feedback, typing feedback, modifier keys, always speak notifications, navigate images.
Remember,
always speak notifications on.
I have always speak notifications on because I'm training people. I would turn it off if I could for my own self because, again, less is more. I'm sitting here and I get a notification that Trump has done another Twitter posts or something like that. So less is more. I know when I have time to listen. You know?
Navigate image. Large cursor.
Yep.
Three more.
I got you.
Large cursor.
You can change cursor. Even though this isn't voiceover, you can change the size of the cursor.
Double tap timeout.
Double tap timeout. If that double tap is difficult for somebody, they don't have that good reaction time. You do a double tap, you can adjust it here. I'm going to get out of that because I desperately want to show you a couple of apps in the last few minutes we have. So, this is my page one. I'm going to mention a couple of them and then I'm going to demo, believe it or not, three in 3 minutes.
Facebook.
That's my Twitter client, Tweetlist.
NFB Newsline.
Newsline gives me access to 380 papers. newspapers, free of charge in states where the library system pays the fee to the National Federation of the Blind for Access. Massachusetts is such a state.
VoiceStream.
VoiceStream, the most successful single application for accessing multiple file types.
Contacts. Saves. Dropbox.
I'm in love with Dropbox. I hope you are. I wish I had bought stock.
KNFB Reader.
KNFB Reader is an OCR product. Take a picture of a page, it reads it to you, but it ain't cheap at $100+. And there's a cheaper way to do it, and I'll be showing you that in a moment.
Writer. Blind Square.
Blind Square, GPS for the blind, yay. I use Blind Square quite a bit when I'm walking. I use Maps pretty much when I'm being that co-pilot in the family car.
News. App Store. Uber.
Uber.
Lyft.
Lyft, as alternative transportation means, spectacular, easy to use the apps once they're set up.
YouTube. Bank of America. Amazon Alexa.
Amazon Alexa. I have my dock here. I was going to demo that. We don't have the time to do it, but turns out that the hotel Wi-Fi is not cooperating with me setting that up.
Era. App Store. Link YouTube. Bank of America. Amazon Web. Era.
How many of you have ever heard of Aira? Artificial Intelligence, A-I-R-A. I'm an Aira Explorer, they call us. This is where you might have seen news things about smart glasses, where it utilizes the camera on the glasses. I prefer my own shades.
Selected glass.
So I'm going to
call
Aira.
Connecting. Agents connecting.
Now, this is a trained agent who's going to be looking at the world for me through my phone camera, the back-facing camera. Hey, Bailey, I'm once again doing a demonstration of Aira for a group of folks. Say hello.
Hello, everybody.
There you go. So, about how full is my room today?
You're pretty full today. There's a lot of people. I see very few open seats.
There you go. I love that. Now, of them, let's pick one to describe to me. I don't care which one. Let's see if that person recognizes themselves and can stand up for me once they think it's them.
Okay, all right, let's see. Do you want to scan to the left a little bit? Okay, let's see. Well, there's somebody that is wearing, she's wearing blue pants, and she's wearing a blue cardigan with a white shirt underneath that. She's wearing a long
So, now the value of this for me is when I have a task where I could sure use some sighted assistance just for a moment or two. I've got a trained, that's what makes her different than what I'm going to show you next. This is a trained individual who knows how to describe things effectively in terms of distance, giving you either clock orientation or to your left or to your right. I use this quite a bit to order Lyft, my preferred car sharing app. I can say to her, because I've connected the two applications together, I need to have a Lyft to pick me up from where I currently am and take me to the Carroll Center for the Blind. And quite honestly, I'm standing out here in the rain. I'd really appreciate you helping me find my Lyft driver. Lyft drivers inevitably are on the other side of the street. I don't know what it is about that, but it happens, right? So, can you give us a couple of examples of things you've done for clients?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of variation of tasks that we can assist with. A lot of common one is reading mail, sorting mail, or if somebody just wants to go on a walk and wants to have their surroundings described to them, I can do that. I've helped people get through airports before. That's always really exciting and fun. I've helped, let's see, just taking pictures. There was somebody on a train in Ireland that was helping them take pictures outside the window. So it's, setting thermostats, that sort of thing, reading thermostats, putting
thank you very much for this very short demo, because I only have 3 minutes to do my demos. So I'm going to say goodbye for now, but thank you much.
Of course, I'm happy to help everything.
Bye now. Pretty amazing, right?
Yes.
And this thing is a fee for service. That is a fee for service for 100 minutes a month. Not very many minutes, right? 100 minutes a month costs me $89 a month. But they're developing new techniques. If you're working in the city of Boston, Boston is about to make its entire city IRA free. Airports, 8 of the nation's biggest airports are IRA free. Over Mother's Day, Walmart made IRA free in Walmart stores for Mother's Day as a demo. So we're going to slowly see this change. And that's all fine and good, but what do you do in the internet?
Accenture, Era, Amazon Lex, Seeing Beyond, Be My Eyes.
You use the open source version called Be My Eyes. And I'm going to call the first available volunteer. Notice the word volunteer? That other lady was a paid staff person. They have about 500 of them. Okay? But this one is a volunteer. How many volunteers? Oh, 120,000 worldwide. So I'm waiting for them to pick up. Hello. The phrase, you get what you pay for, means something. It's stuck in some fashion. So I'm going to... Connected?
Yeah.
Are you there? Yeah, camera's showing you guys, but I'm not getting any conversation going here. So I'm going to hang out because they don't have time for that. Sorry, bye. Did it hang up? There, okay.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah, thanks.
Right.
So very quickly, I will just say, TapTapC is an app that's like stationary. You can take a picture of something and it'll tell you what it is. So that might be useful for somebody who doesn't have the resources to do a phone call kind of subscription kind of app. What was that one called? TapTapC, 3 words. And then I would encourage you to use the iPad, use the camera to create little albums to increase participation in the individual's day. You know, take pictures of things that need to happen during the routine, take pictures of places they need to go, people they're going to see, and you can create albums and they can swipe through. And also there are some apps for visual schedules out there. Some of them are a little young looking, so for clients older or individuals older than 22, you might not you got to weed through and see which ones are free and which ones your camera's still on.
I know.
Which ones, look appropriate for the age of the individual you're working with. All right. I think we're going to stop.
Thank you very much.